Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our Hollywood. I'm Daniel.
I'm Kim.
And if this episode is ASMR, it's because we're really tired.
No, literally. Oh my God, the bubble came out.
Oh, yeah. I started watching it.
Not to watch it. I'm going to watch it just because it's like No Thoughts Head Empty.
There's a lot of fun little cameos in it.
Yeah.
So that was fun. That was nice.
Okay.
Also, I've never seen a Judd Apatow movie. Anyways. Like, what other movies has he made? Wait, you know what I told my friends the other day? They were like, did you guys know that the girls from Euphoria's mom is Leslie Mann? And I was like, yeah, do you know who the dad is? And they were like, who? And I was like, Judd Apatow. And they were like, we literally don't know who that is. So I think it's funny, depending on which parent of her that you know, like, I feel like it says a lot.
He's made so many movies. Like, you're like, all the good comedy movies. He's behind Knocked Up, Super Bad, This Is 40, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Trainwreck, Bridesmaids, Anchorman.
I've only seen Bridesmaids.
Pineapple Express, Step Brothers.
No.
He's like a director-producer. Kicking, like, literally so many comedy movies. But also, you didn't know what the Bridgerton musical was. So no.
Did you know it won a Grammy last year? It's not on Twitter right now.
It won a Grammy right now.
Oh, it was right now. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Not last year.
I was just about to say that.
Congrats to them. Okay, so
I can't believe somebody commented that on our YouTube video. Daniel being literally having no idea. Like, that was just like, it went on for so long. Like, I don't know how you missed that.
Anyways, I don't know either.
For a little pre-show today, we're going to talk about what we've watched in the last week, because I feel like
I also saw a
lot of things.
Yeah, and I also saw The Lost City, The Lost City, and you also saw it, so we could also talk about that, even though I don't have that much to say about it.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we could start there. We're already here. So The Lost City came out, starring Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum and Daniel Radcliffe and Brad Pitt, kind of.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was fun. I laughed out loud, and that's all I really can ask for that kind of movies, you know? Because you know it's not going to be, like, groundbreaking, but you just want to have a little funny. And I had a little funny.
I
feel
so
like
too.
Channing Tatum is really funny. Because 22 Jump Street is, like, one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I kind of forgot that he was funny because it was kind of a long time ago. 21 Jump Street
is
my
too.
Favorite. I heard that this is going to be Sandra Bullock's last movie for a while because she wants to, like, be there for her kids, which is obviously admirable, but a little sad. She's very beautiful.
Yes.
Like, I knew that, but, like, I haven't seen a movie with her in a while because she hasn't been in anything in a while. No. And I was like, wow, she's so pretty. She aged. That's what happens when you're unproblematic, dead ass.
That's true.
You age beautifully.
I did. What was I gonna say? Oh, okay. So in the theater, it was like me, my mom, and like a bunch of other like older women, or like I guess just mature women. Let's say that. And we were laughing at very different jokes.
Yeah.
Like there was a couple jokes where I was like laughing, the only person laughing, and then like the part where he has like the face mask on his back and he turns around, everyone thought was hilarious.
That is
funny.
Like,
really, guys? Oh, okay.
I thought it was funny.
But like laugh out, like burst out loud.
I chuckled.
Laughing.
Chuckled.
A breath. It's like a heavy
go, like a... I went.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Because I want to see Patty Harrison stand up so bad. Patty Harrison is the one that was the social media.
I surprisingly do know this, and I don't know how.
She was in Shrill. Did you watch Shrill?
I did. Well, I didn't. I don't think I finished. I watched the first season.
She's just iconic, and also she's very much on the internet. She's on Twitter. You know,
that's probably
what
it is.
You're on Twitter.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I just thought the hashtag Shawn Mendes thing was really funny.
Oh yeah.
Like what? I think it was just funny because it was like, why? It's because we grew up watching iCarly and Victorious that it's like they just say random phrases and we're like, oh my god, hilarious.
Also, I will say Daniel Radcliffe as a villain, so much fun.
That was fun. I had fun.
I've only seen him as like a villain character in like one other thing, but I think he should do more villains.
I think he has fun with it, genuinely, because he played a hero for like, what, how long did that fucking take? Like, oh, 10 years of his goddamn life. Yeah. Like, probably more than that. Like, so it's probably fun playing a villain character.
Well, he's like so rich from Harry Potter that he could literally, he's literally just doing whatever movies he wants to do.
King. Yeah. Love that. It was just fun. Not much to say. I watched Moonshot as well because I watched a screener for it a couple months ago. Like, you know how like you go in and you give your feedback and I was just curious to see if they changed anything. And also I was curious to see the rest of the special effects.
Like finished
video effects. Yeah, because it wasn't finished. Because you know how like they don't really finish that stuff yet because it takes a long time.
It takes you so out of the moment when you're watching one of those and then it's like a green screen.
Yeah. Like they were like in astronaut suits and like it wasn't all the way done. Uh-huh. It was funny. And I liked it then and they didn't change too much from what I saw. But I just think it's fun. I don't think Lana Condor or Cole Sprouse have much chemistry, but I thought it was fun. And that's what all the Letterboxd reviews were about. It was like,
the chemistry?
They have no chemistry. And why would she leave Mason Gooding for Cole Sprouse? And I was like, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
There's another movie I watched recently where I was like, these people have no chemistry and it's completely taking me out of the movie.
They have friendship chemistry, but I couldn't imagine boning or anything.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what America wants.
Oh, and you know, another thing I'll give it is like, I appreciate that they were like college aged. And that was like,
oh, okay. And not high school.
You know, like, yeah, high school or like, they're like in post breakup when the person that they thought they were going to marry. Like, you know, it was cute.
Oh, I remember what movie it was. It was Morbius. Jared Leto and that one main girl had this much chemistry. And if you're an audio listener,
love interest.
Yeah, it's like a super
in the movie.
It's like when I tell you, I
don't want to watch that movie.
You don't have to. Okay. I don't think you would miss any part of the cinematic Sony universe. You could just like still understand that he's a vampire and whatever else he's in. Because I like Jared Leto, but for some reason, he cannot catch a break with these like superhero movies. Like the Joker and then this.
Maybe it's karma for being a cult leader. Is that right?
Is that real?
A cult leader?
I thought I imagined.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's real, but I don't know too much about it, so I don't want to like spread misinformation. But like,
cult leader. I'm pretty sure there's an island where like.
Isn't it crazy that we were introduced to him, like our generation was introduced to through 30 Seconds to Mars?
Yeah,
and non-actor first, and I didn't realize that he was an actor before 30 Seconds to Mars. 30 Seconds to Mars kind of goes off, guys. Some of the songs go crazy.
I don't know where I discovered Jared Leto.
It had to be 30 Seconds to Mars.
It had to be
because like,
cause he took it, like, he didn't act for
very much
bit,
Glee,
right?
Very much Glee covered a song for sure. Very much like, because you know how like when we were growing up, like bands were still really popular, so like Coldplay.
Oh,
30 Seconds to Mars, that was the thing. So, like, you knew of them. You didn't know anything about them, but you just knew their name.
And I worked at Hot Topic, so I knew they existed.
Nice.
So.
Good.
That's fair. And they had the rubber bracelets still. And I'm like, guys, it's been 10 years since anyone has worn these. Like, it's a little outdated now. Okay, X.
Loved
the
it.
Movie X.
Live, laugh, loved for it. To be honest.
Period. Okay.
The more I think about it too, I'm like, ugh.
I watched it for the second time yesterday. It literally gets so much better on a rewatch.
I'm gonna watch it again. Literally, I was like, you know, I love it when I'm gonna watch it again.
Yeah, you're gonna catch. There's so many little details where I'm like,
mm-hmm, once you know like the end of the story, well,
you know how every little like what happens to each person, like it's literally in the dialogue, like what happens to each person, like within like the first half hour.
Yeah.
Like, there's little clues and hints to how each person's going to die. And, like, I don't know. It was just so much fun. And I can't wait for the prequel.
Smart. That was my first Ty West movie that I've ever watched.
I think I've seen the Innkeeper. Google said the Innkeepers was his, but I don't know if that's true.
He might have produced it.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Because when you
like
Google people, it'll say what they've written and produced.
So. Yeah.
Directed.
Yeah, I loved it. Although, I did think, the first time I watched it, that theater, so boring. Nobody was reacting except my friends. And I was like, is this because like it was supposed to be funny?
Yeah,
like,
I think
very obviously.
I think because it was A24, people thought it was supposed to be serious.
Okay, I think that's why a lot, like certain people didn't like it because I think they were expecting another Hereditary, Midsommar, elevated horror kind of thing. But this is very much just a slasher for fun.
Yeah, it
But
was so fun.
even though it's a slasher, it still has, I think, something to say, which is not something usual for slashers. A lot of slashers don't have anything to say. It's just there
Yeah.
for a good time. But I feel like there were still messages about like beauty and aging. Even if it's like a silly little message, it's still a message.
Yeah, there was something to take from it, but
Yeah.
people were like, this is not elevated horror, so I cannot
Yeah.
stand. I'm like,
I don't know. It was interesting
relax.
watching people's reactions to it. The first time I watched it, like half the theater left during the movie.
What?
Yeah. Like people just kept leaving
Dude.
throughout it.
But it was interesting the whole time.
Yeah, I was thrilled the entire time. And then I watched it again yesterday and the theater was having fun. Like everyone was like cheering and clapping. And I was like, okay, this is a fun
Oh,
time.
yay. That's
Yeah.
good.
How was your viewing experience?
I kind of blacked out everybody
Okay.
else because it was kind of annoying. Because
Oh, yeah.
I keep on telling Daniel, I'm like, I don't know what it is. Every time I go to the fucking movie theater, there's somebody being obnoxious. And like, I am definitely one of the people that are like, don't talk during the movie. Stop
Same.
having conversations. Stop asking
Yeah.
questions. Just watch the fucking movie and ask the
Yeah.
questions later. Like, it's okay if like something like happens in the movie and you're like, oh, I'm gonna whisper this to my friend. Make a little ha ha. That's
Yeah.
fine. But these people that I keep sitting next to keep on having like full blown like back to back like they're
Yeah.
conversing during the movie and I'm like
They're like,
you're
what do you want to eat
missing
after this?
the movie.
Like,
No,
loud.
literally no, or like or they're like, oh, that's crazy that that happened. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, it's happening. Watch it. You're gonna miss something. And they're like, wait, what happened? Oh my God.
My God. Wait, you know what else I hate when people have their phones out? Because yesterday there was a kid like a couple rows in front and he was Snapchatting like front flash, like selfies, like front flash selfies during the movie. I'm like, I've never seen
Why?
such audacity like that.
I'm pretty sure when I was watching The Lost City, the couple like next to me was like making out. Because I saw movement out of the corner of my eye and I was like,
You're like, I don't want to look.
I don't
Ignorance is
want to look.
bliss.
Yeah, I guess. But like, it's just like,
Weird.
guys, why? Go sit in the front. Don't sit in the back. I'm trying to enjoy my movie. Oh my God, it's so annoying. Anyways, I love Mia Goth and I love Jenna Ortega. Also, the whole cast was good. Like,
Whole
had a fun
cast was good.
time.
Well, because
The
Kid
setting
Cudi
was good. The
or
vibe
Scott.
was good.
Yeah. Kid Cudi was in Don't Look Up, but he was in there for like probably 3 minutes total. So I
Yeah.
didn't really see like how if he could act or not. And I feel like he can act. Especially this one. I was like, period. He's in his acting era.
A lot of musicians are
Okay, that's
in their
true.
acting era. It's because you don't make that as much money in music as you do in movies.
That's fair. And
That's
they were
why a
already
lot
famous,
of
so.
and that's why a lot of musicians make like short films now to go with their albums, so it's like another stream of revenue.
Period.
Very interesting.
Girl boss for
We
all of
should get
them.
somebody that work like does music to come talk about musicians and blah blah blah. I'm sure we know somebody. I
We
know a
have
couple
to.
people.
Yeah. Okay, any other things you watched? I watched Codify. Oh my God. I
You said
watched
you had
Codify
so many
Me.
notes on X. I thought you were gonna.
I did, but not it's just all good things and I'm like, I feel like that's not that fun to hear. Well, I don't know. I just really liked I liked the acting, I liked the performances. I liked how it was directed because it was
It was
very much
directed really well,
yeah, it was very much
extremely well.
a love letter to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like there's like direct like shot like the one shot when they're at the beginning when they're in the van is almost identical to a shot from Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, cool.
I think the car he finds in the lake, I think the sticker is the same sticker that's on the Texas Chainsaw van, but I don't
Aw, I
remember.
love when people get to do that. Like, it
Yeah.
just makes me happy.
There's so many fun little references. And I think the prequel looks like it's gonna have a lot of references also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Coda,
Oh yeah.
we didn't talk about it winning Best Picture at all last week.
No, we did it. Our Oscars review was such a mess. I was like listening to it,
I
and I was
haven't
like,
even listened to the episode because I'm like,
okay.
I felt chaotic.
It was so chaotic.
Because we were recording so late.
Yeah.
So for Coda, like, I'm glad it won. Like,
Yeah, me
I
too.
feel content. I didn't think it was gonna win. So that's why I think I'm like happy it did. Because I think, yeah, it wasn't like the obvious choice, but like, not every fucking best picture winner has to be like a dramatic cinematic $10 million fucking, that's not a high budget, but you know what I mean, like like multi-million dollar like budget ass movie. Like it doesn't need to be like that to be a best picture. Like, and also I think people just get caught up in the semantics of best picture.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but I think it was great. Like it, I mean, I told you like last week about how like the main actress was saying how much it meant to people and meant got people to feel seen that hadn't been seen before. And I think that's kind of like the whole point of the best picture is like it could be like that could be one avenue you could go down when choosing a best picture. And I think that's just as valid as like a fucking crazy Scorsese movie. Like both are valid and important, so people need to relax.
Yeah, I agree. I think
I feel I like not it. That many people verbalize their like upsetness about Coda because it's like you're talking about a community that's like disabled.
Yeah.
But also some people were very bold in saying that it didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
The fuck, it's just sweet. Like it was like what we everybody's consensus of Coda is kind of like it kind of feels like a Disney Channel movie, but it's like
100%
because like quote unquote nothing really happens, you know, and it's just kind of light family drama. But I mean it's a family drama. I mean it's something that happens to a lot of people in different ways and may not just be with like that specific family, but a lot of people feel like maybe a black sheep in their family. And I liked how one thing that I love about Coda is like showing the parallels between the siblings, like one of them feeling like they are the outsider because they're not deaf, and the other one being like, I am deaf but I can do this, like I can take care of the family. And stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. I just love that. I just like it. The more I'm the type of person that's like, I have an immediate reaction, but the more I think about a movie, the more I like it.
Same. I always have like one, I'm like, I either like it or dislike it. And then the more I think about it, like it's going to get heavier towards one or the other.
Yeah.
Like with X, the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I liked it. And then with this one also, I was like, I liked it. But the more I think about it, I'm like, there were actually some really cute moments in that. And I just had a good time. It was just a fun watch.
It was sweet. Oh my God. When she was singing at the end, when she was singing and he put his hands on her neck.
Of the vibrations. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was like louder, louder. Oh my God. Troy deserved best supporting actor much. I'm so glad that he got voted. He's so good. And I hope we see him in more things.
I agree. Cause that was so good. I was like, I was watching the movie and I was like, I absolutely agree that he should have won, because I feel like I saw most of them now. I think the only one I haven't seen is Belfast yet, but I'll get to it. Also, the way that too. Yeah,
in it.
Period. Congrats, Coda. Also, congrats to Ariana DeBose. Oh my God. Okay, so I got Apple TV to watch Coda, and so I watched Schmigadoon, which was a musical with.
I want to watch that. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of good.
Yeah.
It was like kind of good. It was Cecily Strong and
Keegan Michael.
Oh my God! Yeah. They're like it's very much Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I don't know, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Maybe like Hairspray Live is the vibe that I'm feeling. But Kristen Chenoweth is in it, and Ariana DeBose is in it, and I didn't know she was in it. But also like she just won an Oscar, so like probably when it came out, she wasn't like West Side Story hadn't come out. I just really like her, and I'm really glad she won. And her speech was good. 10 out of 10. I love her. But yeah, that show was good.
I think the Oscars, like the Oscar, I that's the thing. Like, I feel bad that, like, the slap, like, kind of, not diminished.
Capital S.
I kind of, like, diminish the accomplishments of everyone else's night. I mean, I don't think that was his intention going into it, because it was obviously out of emotion. But, like, it just makes me a little sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Because nobody talked about the winners, really. Yeah, it was just about that and that. Whatever. You know, it's
also, I love how right after we re-recorded, and I was like, that was like the most fun I've ever had during the Oscars. And then like I went online and people were like, this year was a disgrace to the Academy. And I was like,
people need to chill out. Yeah. Chill out. Oh my God. I don't know. I also hate that everybody conspirizes over everything. Oh,
yeah. They were like, this was staged. I'm like, who cares, guys?
Like, it's also human nature. Like, it's just like he reacted out of emotion. It happened. Why is everybody putting their fucking two cents in? It already happened.
Everybody. Including everybody. Everybody.
But like, everybody. The more I reflected on it, I was like, why is it still a conversation? Like, it already happened. He can't take it back.
Yeah.
He just has to move forward. And it is what it is.
And also, like, it was a
slap. I'm sure he's embarrassed as fuck. Like,
yeah. Like, it was like shocking for that. But it's like, it's like a week later now. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, a week
later. It wasn't that big of a deal. It really wasn't.
Like, I mean, it's just, I think people just made a big deal of it because it was shocking.
It was, yeah, but.
I saw like this girl who was like at the Oscars and she was talking about what happened and everybody was like so stunned when it happened because it was super random. I mean, not random. I'm sure there's history.
I mean, but, kind of, yeah, random. For, like, if you don't know the context, you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Anyways.
It is what it is. Everyone needs to chill out, though.
I agree.
It's crazy how, like, fucking up in arms people got about it. I don't know.
Like, very, like, as if they were the ones that were slapped.
Oh, the another thing that I wanted to bring up was, like, this wouldn't, like, be as big of a deal if Will Smith wasn't black. You know what I mean?
100%, yeah.
Like, I think that's another thing we missed last week was, like, the nuance of both of them being black men.
Yeah.
Is, like, another layer that's, like, totally way deeper than, like, we're capable of having conversation about.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I guess what I compare it to, like, fucking, like everybody is disgusted with Will Smith, but, like, you're not disgusted that Roman Polanski still gets to be a working director. Yeah. You're not disgusted that Harvey Weinstein still has all of his Oscars. Like, there's people that are doing actual harmful, predatory things, and you're up in arms and want Will Smith's Oscar to be taken away. Like, oh, my God. Get your priorities straight. Oh, so that's all I have to say about it. There's way more intellectual people to go listen to talk about this. Yeah. But anyways.
Period.
Other news.
Okay, so should we just get into the topic?
Because we don't have
ad break.
Oh, well, wait, we don't have ad break.
No, because we're doing videos now.
Yeah, we're losing out on the 2 cents we make every
episode. Yeah, it's okay.
Oh my God.
If we get a sudden wave of a lot of people, then we'll do ad breaks again, but we don't really need to do ad breaks.
I'm telling you, we need to post on TikTok. That's how every fucking podcast I know gets popular.
Period. Well, it's because, okay, I was having a business meeting again. You were like, just wait until I watch it and then you'll give me the timestamps, but then you never gave me the timestamps for either.
I've been so busy the last 2 weeks. That's why. That's fair. Like, I haven't been able to catch up. I apologize. My bad.
It's okay.
It's not that big of a deal. Also, you can just choose it.
Okay.
You could just don't do as many.
Okay, like two.
Yeah, and then I'll come later. Because I don't think it matters if we post it, like, when the episode comes out.
I'll just do the – I was talking about this on the podcast. I'll just do the one that I did for, like, Instagram. I'll just also format it for TikTok.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. Okay, period. Okay, so what we're talking about today is the new – Wait, what? The new wave of queer teen shows. Is that the right title?
Wave of queer teen shows. TV shows.
But isn't it like new? Like current
modern? I don't think new is on the thing.
Oh, no. It's just wave of queer teen shows.
Yeah.
Okay, period.
So let's start at the beginning. Lee is the beginning of our state of consciousness as film and TV people.
It started with Glee. No,
BG, I or was it, what is it? BG and AG.
That's absolutely
how, that's how my life works. No,
after Glee.
That's a clip.
That is, no, I agree. Because Glee just like rattled America. Glee was groundbreaking.
Let me tell you something. We definitely weren't supposed to be watching that when we did. And I think we've talked about this before, that like Kurt Hummel is kind of like our first conscious I feel for both of us, like one of our first conscious examples of a gay man on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So his impact.
I think so. Yeah. I think the first gay character I ever saw on TV was Emily in Pretty Little Liars. Because
Did Glee come out before?
I was late to the Glee train.
Oh.
I was very late. I watched the first like 3 or 4 seasons. Like I started watching it after Corey Monteith RIP had passed away.
Oh.
So I was a little late. For
Corey Monteith RIP.
It was kind of, I didn't want to just be abrupt about it. So even though I think that made it worse.
Yeah, that was weird.
But yeah, but I was
anyways, he was one of the first ones.
He was. He won like, oh my God, a lot.
A lot of GLAAD awards came that way.
A lot of GLAAD awards. He was a whole show.
But I just think it's just camp. Glee is camp.
Wait, Glee can I ask something? Because it's really distracting me. What are you laying on? What, like, is that an animal?
It's a Hello Kitty Squishmallow. Okay. It's huge.
I was trying to figure out what it was, and I'm like, if I don't ask
this
right now,
it's literally the size of my body. It's
a Squishmallow?
Yeah. I don't really feel like...
Where'd you get it?
Costco.
Okay, that's it. Anyway,
that explains the size.
I was so distracted by it.
Yeah. It's a little bow. That's
so I'm pretty sure I answered other people's questions. They're probably wondering too, so...
Yeah,
you're welcome to the listeners. Kurt Hummel,
and also Santana and Brittany.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I don't know. Like, there's not. I think this is just. We wanted to mention it because it was our first little taste, and I think it was like pretty groundbreaking for the time. You know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
We just had to mention it.
Yeah, we haven't said anything.
I feel like we've talked so much about Glee, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. That's why.
Me either. We've already said our piece on Glee and every aspect of it. So I'll say my little thing about Pretty Little Liars, because that was kind of my first one. Was Netflix a thing already? It might have been. I think I watched the first season of Pretty Little Liars on Netflix, and then I like watched the rest live. Emily, I forgot what her last name is in the show. Was the first time I saw like a queer character on TV, and I was like, oh,
but she was so lightly gay.
Oh, so well, no, because in the first episode she kisses the
okay Maya, but though. Like throughout the whole series.
Oh yeah,
because they spend way more time. I mean, maybe it's because like there's like 4 of them and like 3 of them are straight. Well, no, there's 5 of them technically.
There's 5, yeah.
And then the other one is like by tease. Right? Didn't Emily and her have a thing at the end?
Allison and Emily get together at the end.
Kind of love
but
that.
But then in the spinoff, you find out they break up. So
it's we're not. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Not canon.
Not canon for us.
Not canon for us. Even though people were upset about it because they were like Emily or Allison was an abuser, and I'm like, oh, because she like bullied them. Like that was like her thing. She was like a bullier.
But it's like they're supposed to be like what 13, 14 years old.
They were like 13 in that.
Relax.
Yeah.
She was just saying it's fine. I'm an Allison
apologist. Yeah.
She turns it around in the end.
I agree.
From what I remember, kind of.
This is a very vague memory from watching it once because same.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe just because Glee is like the forefront of my personality, a foundation, if you will. So, I mean, also like I remember watching did you watch kind of when they were doing the last season of Pretty Little Liars, like the press tour they did, and then they did like a map of like everybody's like hookups and stuff like that. Emily went first. Mitchell went first, and like literally she got hers done really well because she doesn't really cross over with many people, and I think that's the fun of the show, and I think that's why Emily kind of fell flat even though she's the best character because
she's
the most sane.
And also I love Shay Mitchell, and
I love Shay Mitchell,
so
icon. She's truly in her bag.
Yeah,
in every fucking bag.
no literally she has her foot in
alcohol, luggage, YouTuber, like actress. Beauty skincare actress.
Oh my God, queen. She knows how to make her money. That's a girl boss.
Shay Mitchell is our girl boss.
Yeah, she is. So basically those are like the two for us that I think were the first kind of like hint that television was going to change a little bit. Especially because
but then it didn't.
No, not for a while. Not for a while.
And then we get nothing.
And then everything just goes dark, and we get a lot of cop procedurals, and a lot of Chicago shows. And then, like, kind of like later on, because also the entertainment industry is very queer, like creative people in general. Not to make a generalization, but I just feel like that's true. And not everyone, obviously, but you know, I feel like the majority. And so then we wanted to talk about like this new wave of queer teen shows that teenagers like are now getting the chance of growing up with, because it is important, because you're not,
I'm not saying like all the ones that we're talking about teens should watch, but we know teens do watch.
Yeah, we know because some of these are definitely not educational in any way, shape, or form. But you know,
a little traumatizing, to be honest.
A little bit. But when you're seeing yourself on TV, you don't care about all that.
Yeah.
All you're like, oh, they're kind of like me. And that's all you internalize until you grow up. And then you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have been watching that.
Us me with- identifying with Rachel Berry.
Yeah.
I like didn't realize she was not good.
But even the first watch of the show, I wasn't like, she doesn't get as annoying until like the third season. Then she's like unbearable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When she moves to New York, I'm like, Jesus fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's fine, because in the first couple seasons, she was just ambitious and had a dream.
Yeah. She was girl bossing in her little tiny sweaters.
Yeah. Period. Okay. So these are not in any order. These are just kind of like the ones we wanted to talk about. And they're all very recent, like within the last couple of years. But the first one we have is Everything Sucks.
I am obsessed with this show.
Okay, period. Tell us about it. The breath.
I've already advocated for the show, so I don't need to run that by you guys. But again, just a little Sydney Sweeney tease, pre-Euphoria. Mm-hmm. And isn't Sydney Sweeney bi in real life?
No idea.
I think she said that. I think. But like the show, like when it was marketed, it was just kind of like sitcom Stranger Things, but the only thing it has in similarity with Stranger Things is that it's in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it was like kind of a byproduct of the Stranger Things craze, which is why I don't think it got canceled, because there's so much saturation at that time of them trying to like push out original shows. Which is unfortunate, because it wasn't marketed as like a queer show at all. So like when I was watching it, I was just watching it because I was like, oh, cute. I love this little cast. How fun. Because I don't like Stranger Things, but I like the idea of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no monsters in this one. I can watch this. And I was watching it, and then I was like, wait, are these bitches gay? Like, what? And it was like, it was cute and wholesome and like, they're AV kids and like they're making like a short film at the end. Like, it's just cute. Like, if you want like something light to watch and like you don't want to like marry a whole like series that's like seven seasons long, like it's such a good watch. Like, genuinely, it's just fun, wholesome, and you get to see Sydney Sweeney act in more things. And who doesn't love that?
It's,
and also, a cute little cast. Like,
yeah, I think it's gonna be the freaks and geeks of this generation.
Good point. Yeah, I thought that too, because it also gives me Freaks and Geeks vibes.
Yeah,
it definitely was inspired by that. I 100% Freaks and Geeks.
I love that. We love little gay rom-coms. Well, I don't know if I would call it a rom-com, but like a wholesome romance.
No, I would say it's a rom-com.
Oh, okay, fair.
Yeah, it's like baby Sex Education also.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs>
Speaking of sex education.
Yeah, let's talk about Sex Education. Okay, this show, honestly,
is one of the best shows on television ever.
Ever.
And I say that with my whole chest.
I was about to say that exact same thing. It's so good in every sense of the word. Like
essential viewing. Because like I have like a list of things that I'm like, everybody should watch this. And Sex Education is one of those.
Yeah. The cast, amazing. The characters, amazing. The storyline is amazing. Even though I'm kind of over the Otis and Maeve love
story. I think I'm everybody so is, though.
But that's, like, such a minor plot of, honestly, the overall show that, like, you can look past it because there's so many other great parts. I don't know. It's so good.
It just handles everything so smart. And also, it's, like, funny, but it's also relatable. And it also doesn't cross a line, really. It's, like, honest, you know? Like, they talk about uncomfortable things. I think that's the hardest thing about comedy is, like, you want to talk about uncomfortable situations because everybody goes through it. But a lot of comedies and comedians, like, it's hard to tread that line of, like, okay, where is the respect line? And how do we keep it, like, you know, still nice.
Peaceful. Yeah.
Peaceful and not, like, diminishing other people. And I like how they show... Like, I just always appreciate when shows try to make their characters, like, round, you know? And I don't think, like, and, like, not even just the main characters, like, the side characters as well. Like, I love seeing people have, like, conflicting thoughts because that just happens.
Yeah.
Because every day, especially with social media and shit, you're, like, seeing new information every day. And I think it's a really good view of, like, this, our generation, you know?
Yeah. Also, something that this show has that is, like, it's, like, such a small thing, but I feel like it's huge, is, like, a friendship between a straight man and I don't know, how old are they? They're teenagers.
Yeah, they're in high school.
Whatever. A straight guy and a queer guy, which is, like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not going
to
come clean.
Otis has never been like, are you trying to hit on me?
Never, ever, ever. He never made fun of his lamp.
Yeah, he's always accepted him and he's always had his, like,
like
good intentions for him. And, like,
And they've gotten in fights, but it's never been
about
their sexualities.
As annoying as Otis is sometimes,
yeah,
he's baby.
Okay.
I love Otis.
An Otis apologist.
I mean, he didn't do anything terrible.
No, he's just really annoying.
He's just a stupid boy.
Yeah. Which trainer, yeah.
But he doesn't do anything super out of pocket that you're like, I don't know if I can forgive you for this one.
Yeah, I agree. What else? And there's also, like, a lot of different it's not just like, oh, this character is queer and they know it. It's also, like, people who are, like, questioning it and they're like, I don't really know
what's going on. Yeah, and literally that's the thing, is like, because that's another issue I have with some queer shows, is like, or honestly teenage shows in general, it's like they just act like sex is, like, such an instinctual, I'm gonna quote Shake from fucking Love Is Blind, animalistic, it's like you know what you're doing out the gate because it's just in us as human beings. And it's like, no it's not. It's all, everybody handles sex differently. And, like, I also appreciate that they talk of, I hope they get into this more next season, but asexuality, they had that, like, side character that was in the play. She was like, I don't know if I can, like, do this lead because I don't have these thoughts of, like, sexuality. And I think that's huge because a lot of asexuals don't feel accepted by the queer space, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody deserves, I mean, it's not my space to say that, but I assume.
Yeah.
You want to be accepting of everybody.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to speak for the queer community because I'm not aware of it.
No, I second that. I sign off on that one. Okay. But I have seen people online be like, oh, sex education doesn't have this. They don't have this. There's not enough of this. And I'm like, I feel like genuinely they're trying as hard as they can to include as much as they can. But at the end of the day, it's still a TV show that, like, has to have a storyline that makes sense. Yeah. And they can't just throw in random characters at all times. And I feel like they're covering a lot of ground.
Like Riverdale now, like, they're, like, catching up with, like, oh, no, they're not catching up. They're just making things up as they go.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, once you, like, start trying to introduce too many storylines, it's, like, it's just gets lost. And I would rather have, like, to wait and, like, see better, more thought out, researched, talk to people. Mm-hmm. You know, they did their due diligence.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Period. I want to look it up. Who made Sex Education? Do we know?
Off
the top of our head. Sex Education creator.
It's a lady, of course. Icon.
Laurie Nunn. Period. It says it's about teens, their relationships, and their need for practical, not judgmental advice. That's a great way to put it.
Stan. Also, Gillian Anderson icon.
Oh my God, of course.
Dude, this cast just goes crazy. Like, it's just such a good cast. Simone Ashley, like, oh my God.
Yeah. What a fun time.
And they're all so funny.
I want to rewatch it. I think I've only seen each season once, and I feel like I need to rewatch the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's such an easy watch, too. Every time the season comes out, I watch it in, like, 1 or 2 days.
They need to get their asses back on set. That's how I feel about Bridgerton, too. I'm like...
It just came out. But you want the next one.
I need it. I need it. I need to see Benedict next.
I don't know what that means.
That's the next person that story is line? About. Yeah.
Period. Well, yeah, that was Sex Education. 10 out of 10. Literally, this is something that every single person needs to watch. So... If you haven't seen it, go get on Netflix and watch it. Because you got to. Love, Victor. So this one is like, oh, the breath. The deep inhale you just went into the microphone. So this one's actually a spinoff of the, I almost said Disney Channel original movie.
The DCOM.
The DCOM, Love, Simon. It was supposed to be on Disney Plus, and then Disney Plus was like, it's too raunchy. And then they put it on Hulu, but now
it's literally not.
It's not. And also Disney Plus has full blood and guts now. So I'm like, okay, they did that for nothing. They did that for what? But whatever, at least Hulu, I think Hulu, I don't even know. Do more people have Hulu or Disney Plus? I feel like now it's
Disney Plus. I mean,
it's
a package now.
Oh, you're right.
Both.
Yeah, so I don't know. What do you think of this?
If my deep inhale didn't give it away. I see, this is where I'm trying to like, you know, our new philosophy.
Yeah.
Be nice about things that I don't even like, you know. Uh-huh. I can appreciate the wholesomeness and like,
yeah.
Also, I love seeing a diverse lead. Like, I always love seeing that. Mm-hmm. But why does he have to end up with the white boy? Why is he with a white boy right now? Why does it always have to be a POC paired with a white person?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's a small thing. It's a small issue. Yeah. But, like, I feel like a lot of people feel that way as well. Yeah. It's like, why are we so afraid of just putting POCs together?
I don't know.
I don't understand it. I mean, obviously, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I'm not. Anyways. I digress.
So I'm not like, okay, first
but
of all,
but I appreciate that concept. It means a lot to people.
Yes, there we go. That's what
it just doesn't mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
Respectfully so.
Yeah, with love, with peace and love.
Because I think all the actors are really great and really talented. And I mean, do think they genuinely believe in the project and they really do stand behind what they're doing. And I can respect that 100%.
Yeah.
It's just like it's too corny for me.
Okay, so yeah, that's what I'm gonna, like, I'm not, this is not my genre. Like, rom-coms, not for me. And
it's weird because it's mine.
Yeah. But, like, for any sexuality, I'm just, like, not into rom-coms. Like, it's just not for me. But I do, like, I know people.
The disclaimer of any sexuality.
I'm like, yeah, I don't care what the two people are. I don't, like, I'm just not, no thank you. Even though I've seen, well, no, I don't know. But I know people that this show is like, it means a lot to them, especially like being like a queer man and like they're like Latinx, like they're Hispanic, whatever you want to call it. That this show is like great representation for them. So that's why I'm like, okay, good for you. If you're having fun with it, there we go. I'm like I generally don't think it's doing any harm.
Yeah.
I just think
it's fine to exist.
There we go. Like, it's like,
it's not harming. It's not, it's helping people and like, you know.
And like, we've said this like 1,000 times on here, like every sexuality, every gender, every like ethnicity deserves their little silly little movies. There's silly little mm-hmm. horror movies, there's silly little rom-coms, there's silly, like every kind of bad movie that people have like a guilty pleasure towards, every kind of person deserves that. So that's why I'm like, I'm not even mad about it. Just
for the most part. I'm thinking about like creepy people when I say that.
Oh, no, not creepy. Oh, creepy people automatically excluded.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not. Ooh. No. That's not what I meant. But I just meant, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't think people got that from that, but my head went there and I was like, oh.
You were covering all grounds. Yeah, just to make sure. Okay, fair. But yeah, so good for Love, Victor. I think they're having a fun time.
Is it still going?
They're on their last season. They're going to do their last season right now.
Okay, that's good. I think that's sweet.
But yeah, Love, Victor. That's all I have to say about it. It's not for me, but if you guys like it, I really hope that you have a great time with the final season. Like, and I hope it wraps up.
Yeah, I hope it's the best final season for you.
Generation. Wait, no, actually, let's save Generation for... No, wait, let's save it for last, because I was looking at the other ones, and I was like, I don't think we want to end on those.
Because I'm about to go in.
Yeah, so let's not end on Generation. I mean, let's end on Generation. So let's do The Politician. Because I was like, I don't want to end on The Politician, Euphoria, or Elite. I really don't.
Yeah. So like, okay, listen. I really love it. Okay. You know how we were just saying, like, you generally like everything, but the more you think about it, you either love it or you don't like it.
Yeah.
The Politician is one of those ones where, like, I loved it when I first watched it, and the more I thought of it, I was like, I think also, I just got, like, so blinded because I love the aesthetic. I love the cast. Like, they're funny.
We were in our Ryan Murphy era. We were literally in the midst of it.
But when I was, like, in thinking about the content, I was like, that is a different level of camp. It's like Scream Queens camp. Not many people get it. I rolled my eyes while I said that, by the way.
Well, it's Ryan Murphy's, like, brand, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm. This kind of, like, television is just like...
We both breathed in at the same time.
It's because we went from, like, intense Ryan Murphy stands to, like, sick of it.
I still like his shit.
Me too. Like, and I'm gonna watch everything he makes.
I think his personality leaks out into his shows, and I don't know. I don't know what that. Mm-hmm. Take that as you will.
Yeah. Well, also, you know what I think it was, like, because of the Dear Evan Hansen thing, everyone got so sick of Ben Platt. Like, it really, and it was like, it kept, as the weeks went on and he started doing more press, it got worse and worse. He kept making the hole deeper for himself. So I think that because of that, now looking back at The Politician, you're just like.
Yeah.
And it was such a short-lived show, 2 seasons.
Yeah. But
why we're bringing it up today is because we did get another queer lead. And it's like, again, it's a white man, but it's still a queer lead.
Did you finish? Now I'm thinking about it. I don't think I finished the second season.
I did finish it.
Did they bring up the kid from the beginning? The one that offed himself? Did he off himself? Yes.
He did. He fully offed himself.
Did they talk about it at all in season 2? They kind of breezed over that. And that was, like, kind of the foundation of the first episode. Brought it up.
No, I don't think they brought it up.
Interesting.
I don't even remember how it ended, to be completely honest with you.
That's bad.
I don't even remember what it was about.
It was about him starting to get into politics. Like, actual politics.
Oh my god, wait, I do remember. And Gwyneth Paltrow, like, wants to run for, like, president or something. Did I imagine that? I don't think I did.
I think that's
definitely something that happened.
About right. Wow, what a fever dream of a show. Oh, I think that we're both, like, have question marks above our head. We're like, huh? But it's just, like, campy, queer, Ryan Murphy, slay, la, mama, blah, blah, blah.
And the gays love Ryan Murphy, so it's, like, whatever. They'll love anything. They're still talking about Scream
but
Queens.
But the gays don't love Ben Platt, I thought.
No.
Am I wrong about that?
I don't. It depends which ones you ask. It depends where you're going.
The general gays.
I think it depends on the
age. How sad would that be to be hated by your own community?
Well, he did.
Oh, man.
I don't think they hate him. It's just like the whole Dear Evan Hansen thing really left a bad taste in people's mouths, because, like, it's one thing to, you know, have people be like, oh, we don't really like this project, but then to, like, double down and be like, this would not have been made if I wasn't in it, and to just, like, sound so snobby like that, I feel like
it's, yeah, the privilege was like, yeah, okay, so out. It's kind of karma. It's karma. Yeah.
But I don't hate him. I don't think he's a bad person. Yeah. I just think it was very, like, I hope it. I think it was a wake up call for him.
Like Beanie Feldstein, if that's your BFF. Like I trust Beanie Feldstein.
Wait, you know what I just remembered? Do you remember when Ryan Murphy posted on Instagram? He was like, "If I could remake Glee, I would." Do you remember this? I would cast Ben Platt as like the nerdy blah blah blah, and I would cast Beanie Feldstein as the Rachel basically, and that Lea Michele would like still be in. Do you remember this? He deleted it, by the way, because people were like, "What are you talking about?"
No,
it was so
weird.
You know,
Ryan Murphy does drugs. It was probably something he tweeted when he was on drugs. I see some weird shit when I'm high.
Main feed Instagram post with a picture.
Yeah, I'm saying he's probably high or something.
Probably. He deleted everything on Instagram.
So many people do drugs, guys.
That's true.
Especially in Hollywood.
Yeah. They have nothing else to do.
It's the creative juices flowing. Maybe that's how he came up with like the
American Horror Story, every plot line ever.
For the latest season of American Horror Story.
Maybe.
I mean, I've never watched one season of American Horror Story.
But I recapped it very detailed for you last season.
It feels like I watched it.
Yeah. You like already know.
It was really detailed.
Yeah, it was. We got very into it.
Yeah. We had to end.
Well, remember it was like two chunks?
Oh, yes.
So, like, yeah. I don't even remember how the first chunk ended, but then the second chunk was Aliens, and it, oh, God, I don't even want to get into it. But I liked it. I will say I liked this season. So, I was expecting, it's because I've expected such little from that show now that when it's, like, not bad, I'm like, oh, good. So,
maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still going to watch it. I love that show.
Yeah. With the red heart.
Yeah. Euphoria. Okay. Because I'm trying to say, like, what have we not said about the show that we dedicated an entire episode to this one show, which I don't think we've done before.
No.
But as controversial, I guess you could say, as Euphoria is, we've gotten some pretty good representation from it. I mean, like, it stars like a character who, like a woman who loves women, as a main character, which is like, I feel like most of the ones we talked about, it's been like queer men, right? Like half, a little bit more than half.
Yeah,
I feel like that's normally what you see when
there's
you.
There's definitely not as many queer women relationships at all, and there's like no non-binary.
Oh no!
Really,
not at all.
So,
and even though it is a toxic relationship, Miss Jules and Miss Rue, it's still one, and I think we're gonna probably get another love interest next season, but I don't know. I think Euphoria is a great form of representation, even though it's like, because it's like the most popular show right now.
The cultural impact already is like,
yeah, so to have a show be that huge and then have like queer characters and trans characters and like that's just,
and it led with a queer woman story, yeah. You know, it like,
so
you can have all
that.
Your qualms with it, but as like a queer show, like I think it's pretty iconic.
I would agree. And if there's, never mind, I'm not gonna say that.
I mean, there's definitely like other shows that do way more for like the community, like Pose and stuff, but like,
oh yeah,
we're talking about teens.
Yeah, we're talking about teens right now. And teens love messy things, like messy, like drama, like that, and that's what Euphoria is giving us.
Yeah. Maybe more of the side characters. You know how like everybody on like TikTok or like Twitter was like, Maddie needs to like date like a non-binary POC. Like that's what she needs next.
I had no idea that people were saying that.
Something like that. Or like, okay. she needs to be in a queer relationship. People really want Maddie to be in a queer relationship.
Well, we were getting
I think it's because
there.
They like the tease. Yeah. With the thing, God. I think it was more from the mom character than Maddie, but like, I'm down
That'd too, but if Sam Levinson is listening to this, please do not make it with that woman, because I will be so upset.
With Nika Kelly? So yeah.
I don't want that.
Another thing is like, Sam Levinson has had so many projects come out in this year already. Deepwater.
Yeah.
I texted Daniel after X and I was like, Sam Levinson strikes again. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, he produced it. He executive produced X. That was a win for him. Deepwater, it's funny if you view it as like not serious.
It's like a comedy.
Yeah.
Deepwater, by the way, to anyone listening, is a very, very chaotic, chaotic in terms of like the production of it. Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas.
I want to know what they cut out. That's what I want to know.
I want a documentary about that movie. That's what I want. I don't want to watch the actual movie. I want to watch a documentary about the making of it.
It was funny.
Like, was it supposed to be funnier, though? Or were you just laughing because you're like, this is a mess?
I don't know. Jacob Elordi, during his little Hot Ones interview, was like saying, like, people shouldn't take it too seriously. It's just like an erotic thriller, basically.
Oh, Jacob Elordi was in it?
Yeah, he's in it.
That explains the Sam Levinson.
Yeah. Jenna Ortega in season 3.
Of Euphoria? Stop.
He knows she exists, for sure.
I love Jenna Ortega.
I love Jenna
Ortega. Well, we've said that like every season on here, so.
Did you hear that rumor on Dumois that Madonna's daughter is going to be in season 3? Or she's like talking about joining season 3?
Oh, yeah, because I did see the one where it was like another nepotism baby is going to be on Euphoria.
Yeah.
Also, I would kind of like it if like Euphoria just becomes like the nepotism baby starter pack.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. It's funny.
I like Mod Apatow. I love Mod Apatow even.
Yeah, me too.
I got a shirt today that reminded me of something Lexi wore. So that's fun. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, did you know her name is Lola or Lourdes? It's both.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Then Madonna's child.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she dated Timothy Chalamet.
I'm not surprised.
Like when they're in high school.
Oh.
Yeah. Like how like Scarlett Johansson and Jack Antonoff. I was like, what the fuck is her last name?
Jack Antonoff? Really?
They dated when they're in high school. You didn't know that?
How did Jack Antonoff date all these people?
Bitch, you need to look up the pictures of them because it's kind of cute. Like they're kind of cute little indie couple. I loved it.
I'm Googling it right now. You're going to get my live
reaction.
They're
kind of cute.
I didn't know they dated. Scarlett Johansson. What's it? Jack Antonoff. Oh, my God. I was watching the music video for, this is so random, the Charlie XCX song Boys.
that's the best music video ever.
It's such a good music video. But I forgot that. Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? You know what? This is a really good
vibe. Like, you know they love to watch Juno together. They watch Juno. They watch 500 Days of Summer. They watch Nora and
Why does this picture look like it was taken in the 1970s?
Because it was like the peak hipster era. That's when all that shit was coming out. When people were playing songs like ukuleles. The eyebrows. Yes.
Wait, Lena Dunham? He dated Lena Dunham? He has such a dating history. Look at this.
You didn't know that he dated Lena Dunham.
I barely found out about Jack Antonoff's existence last year when I watched the Folklore Long Pond sessions on.
You know how we're talking about how your friends are always impressed with your pop culture knowledge?
Yeah.
and then we were talking about it, and I was like, that's so crazy because like
I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know anything at all.
That's crazy.
But like, you're the king of pop culture. I'm like, I quite literally know nothing. I don't even understand how little I'll be on Dumois.
Like, have you met Kim?
I'll be on Dumois and I'll be like, oh, I wonder who this is. And then I'll look at the answers and be like, I don't even know who that person is. So I couldn't have solved the riddle because I didn't know who the answer was.
So dead. Anyways. I'm so glad they made that new account. I told Dana, I was like, they need to make an account so that everybody can talk in the comments.
Have we talked about our Dumois obsession on here?
I've definitely talked about my blind items obsession 100% because that's okay. Definitely like my hyperfixation right now.
Yeah, Kim and I. Well, okay, so there's this account called Dumois. It's DUEXMOI. Oh my God.
Have you ever been on crazydaysandnights.net?
No, I don't even know what that is.
That's the original Dumois.
Oh, is it also like gossip, like celebrity gossip?
Yes, but it's been around since forever, since the internet existed.
Oh, period.
It's insane. And the guy, he goes by NT. And you know what that's for? He's an entertainment lawyer. So he actually like knows his shit. He's really interesting.
Okay. That sounds like a fun time.
I listen to his podcast.
Oh, he has a podcast. Who doesn't at this point, honestly?
Dude, Dumont has a podcast. I listen to that podcast.
Dua Lipa
has a podcast. Beyond the Blinds. I listen to Fluently Forward. Like, I listen to them all.
Yeah, I love Dumont. It's just grounded. It's just fun. It feels like a little riddle. It's like a little mystery. It's like Gossip Girl for us.
I mean, play. It's canon in Gossip Girl.
Is it really? In the new one?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
They literally talk about Dumont. It's so funny.
I don't know. Anyways.
We went so off the rails. We're talking about Euphoria.
anyways. Okay. We have Elite. Okay, I'll just briefly talk about this one because honestly, here's the thing.
We didn't even really say anything about Euphoria.
Well, because what happened?
Go listen to the fucking episode.
Yeah, we've said so much about it. Okay, so Elite is this show on Netflix. Oh my god. It's like a show from Spain. So they speak Spanish, but it's like the Spain Spanish. Because there's different kinds of Spanish. Mm-hmm. And it's very queer. I don't know if I would say it's like okay, here's the thing. You know how there's different kinds of queer people in terms of like their interests? Like, okay, this Phoebe Bridgers gaze, and then
no, I know what you mean, but that was just a funny way to phrase it.
It's because I was like, how do I say this? Okay, I feel like Elite is the representation for the kind of
gaze. Kali Uchi's gaze.
Yeah, who like party and like WeHo and like that kind of thing. I feel like that's who Elite is for. Because Elite is very much no plot, hot people. Murder mystery.
I'm into it.
Yeah, oh, me too.
I've never watched it, but I'm into that fantasy.
I think you would like it. I honestly think you would like it.
All my friends love it.
Yeah, the first like two or three seasons, or I think the first two seasons, are like genuinely good mysteries. And like genuinely good mysteries. And then like as it goes on, you're like, whatever, I'm just watching this for the characters at this point. Even though like half the original cast is gone. And it's like a fully a new cast right now. There's like one character left.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about in the beginning? Is like how we were distinguishing what queer shows were, like what we categorize, because you know how like we had there's definitely more that have queer characters, but we wouldn't consider them queer shows because it's like,
oh well, let's do that right now. Okay, like, well, we kind of like, well, for example, Pretty Little Liars would be an example of a TV show that has a queer character, but it is not a queer show. Yeah. Whereas La Victor is very much a queer show.
Yeah. Like, it basically how I would say, like, because technically Emily is a main character, but, like, if you probably line up her runtime with, like, the rest of the, like, yeah. I don't really remember much that Emily does.
No, because she doesn't do fair. Much.
Which, I wonder what that was about. I'm just saying, because we weren't ready, like, America wasn't ready. Like, it was, like, so taboo to have any gay characters on at that time, so I'm sure people made a ruckus about it. I don't know but I sure they did. But like, I guess like what was on that list? Never Have I Ever.
Yeah.
Like Never Have I that Ever. Was on it was like on a list of like queer TV shows. And it's like, no, because like one character is queer and that doesn't make it a queer show.
Yeah.
And I think that's a harmful thing to like put out. Not harmful, that's not the right word. But you know what I mean? Like it's not correct, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's like making queer people like a what's the word, like a novelty in a way. You know, like you're just making one character queer to be able to like push that as a queer show, and I don't think that's fair, you know.
Yeah, no, because
does that make sense?
Yeah, because that's what we've gotten a lot of, like a lot of these early examples, the main characters weren't the queer ones, they were the side friends. And they were like, look, we're a gay show, which like honestly back then that was like enough. But now we have
they're like, make it enough.
Yeah. But now we have so many different like streaming services and channels and whatever that there is space for there to be like main queer main characters that we don't really. But it's also like, okay, here's the thing, because like obviously we want more main characters, I mean more queer main characters, but then also like we don't want the shows that are like a main character straight, we don't want them to not have any queer characters.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, at least they're everywhere now. At least you can barely turn on a TV show and have it have zero queer characters. I feel like there will at least be one in every single show, which, like, honestly, I'm okay with.
Yeah, I just don't want them to be tokenized is the word I agree. Looking for.
Yeah.
Because I feel like some shows just are like, okay, which one can we make gay?
Yeah.
It feels like that now.
It does.
And I'm sure people share that opinion. Where we go complete opposite, which everybody pretty much in that show is queer except one person. What you're saying is generation.
Period.
Which I think that's going to be the Freaks and Geeks as well. Oh, okay. Of this.
Oh, yeah, because it got
because, canceled. Like, yeah, it got canceled for one season, and I'm so upset about it.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it wasn't, like, fucking the best show, but I thought it was, like, pretty respectable in what I was trying to do, and I also thought it was fun. Like, it was fun to watch, you know? And also, it's definitely a byproduct of having Euphoria be so successful, you know? And I think maybe that's why, like, I mean, it follows with the everything sucks theory that I have, but, like, because it was a byproduct of another successful show and it didn't have the same numbers as the show that they're trying to, like, spin off of in a way, they just canceled it. And it's like, you gotta respect the sleeper show sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, like, that wasn't, yeah, like, something people were gabbing about on Twitter, like,
yeah,
and had it trending number one, but, like, they kept it going because, like, they knew how much it meant to, like, a niche group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the show has gone viral on TikTok so many times, like,
yeah, it really
it
has.
Can carry on second, third, fourth lives, you know. And I think Generation had so much potential,
yeah,
and it just makes me so sad, because, like, especially because one of the characters, Greta, she was figuring out her sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she started having feelings for this girl and she was like, okay, I think I'm a lesbian and I really like her. But the person that she had, I forget her name in the show, but her real name is Chase in real life, the girl that's playing it. But she, I think I've talked about this story before, but anyways, I think it was really important. That's why I, like, always talk about it. So basically, she's really sexual and I think she's bi, the character that has a crush on, that Greta has a crush on. And so, like, when they start, like, making out and stuff, it, like, freaks Greta out and they kind of, like, were starting to, like, make her be an asexual lesbian.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
And I'm like, T, like, I don't think we've ever seen a character like that ever. And I was so sad because, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like we need, there's so many levels to sexuality that I feel like the show would have gone into and, like, had a relatively honest portrayal. Yeah. So.
Well, like, we can't expect sex education to cover everything. They're not going to be able to.
They're carrying the shit on their back.
Yeah, they are. So I think conclude everything is, like, we just need more. We just need a lot more because that's the only way to really have everyone represented. We just need a lot more of it.
Mm-hmm.
There will never be enough.
And I'm happy that more people are getting the space to, like, tell their own stories, you know? I feel like we're seeing a lot in film right now is, like, more queer love stories. Like, I think, isn't that book The Red, White, and Royal or whatever the fuck is getting, you know? So,
the TikTok book?
Huh?
The TikTok book?
Yeah, the TikTok
book. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forget. There's, like, another, there's more, like, queer stories coming out in, like, film. Yeah. And I hope that that's why, like, people need to go watch movies in the movie theaters. Because that's all fucking studios care about. And if they see a trend in, like, the movie theaters, they'll, like, follow suit with television. At least that's how it traditionally kind of goes. And I think we're kind of diverging through that a little bit. But, you know.
Yeah, listen to
Nicole Kidman. We did the groundwork. Now we need to get into the nuances. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kurt
Hummel and Emily from Pretty Little Liars walked so that all these other shows could run.
Yeah, because sexuality is so complicated.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, like, I feel like TikTok has given a lot of people solace in, like, how they're feeling about sexuality and how it isn't linear for some people and super linear for others. And, you know, I think it's important for television to respect those nuances.
Oh, you know what? Okay, just another thing, like, right now we only talked about, like, queer teen shows, but I think something that, oh my god, there was a show I saw recently but I don't remember what it was, is older characters exploring their sexuality as well. I think that's also a great
Will and Grace, or not Will and Grace. But yeah, Will and Grace, and then Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie is the one I was thinking of. But also Will and Grace. But yeah, I don't know. Just I want more of everything. We want more queer characters in every TV show, every genre. Also every genre, because I want like horror stories with queer characters. I want sci-fi stories with queer characters. I want rom-coms with queer characters. Like a little bit of everything. We want them in every space.
Because queer people have always existed. It's just like they've been silenced. Were you silent or were you silenced?
And they were silenced.
So it's just like, we gotta get with the times, guys.
Yeah, no, really, because like, come on.
Yeah.
Anyways, I am excited to see where we go from here in terms of television and even movies and just seeing what other queer characters we see, especially because like now that this generation of kids is growing up with shows like this, the creative kids of that generation are going to be like, oh well, they told this story, let me elevate it into a more specific and nuanced and better told version of this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going up from here, period.
Love it.
Guys, thank you for listening. Honestly, we mostly stayed on track this time, except for that one little tangent. We went on
a bunch of time. I'm really shocked. We're tired today.
That might be what it is, honestly. So if you liked this episode, make sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts. I almost said Apple Spotify. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at r.hollywood. TikTok at r.hollywood.
Letterboxd
at our Hollywood, YouTube at our Hollywood, just wherever you want to find us, we're there, whether you like it or not.
We have a link tree.
We do have a link tree on our Instagram. Honestly, just go to the Instagram. Everything's there. Everything is linked there. But yeah, we'll see you next week, and thank you for listening. Bye, everyone.